Northumberland 89.7 is CFWN, truly local radio, serving Northumberland County, a not-for-profit volunteer community radio station.
The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is that all that glitter is gold? After story had never been told. So now you see the light, hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up.
And the Wailers from 1975 with Get Up, Stand Up. Stand up for your rights, your right to vote. Well, joining me in the studio right now for our weekly rendition of Consider This is my good friend Rob Washburn. He's professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Always a pleasure. And joining us in the studio today is your Green Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South, Ms. Patricia Sinnott. When she retired from her healthcare career in Durham Region, Patricia Sinnott was drawn to the Ganaraska River in Northumberland County in 2002. She left the Oak Ridges Moraine and bought her grandparents' house in Port Hope. So she has longevity here in the riding, folks. During her career as a hospital pharmacist, Patricia worked with our healthcare providers on a multidisciplinary teams and educated patients about their drug therapy. She's a lifelong learner. She's enrolled in graduate school while her daughter was an undergraduate, receiving a Master's of Science in Pharmacy in 1997. She has other interests that include music, pets, hiking, genealogy, and storytelling. and she is your Green Party candidate. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dave and Robert. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very happy to have you here, actually. You are one of three candidates who have agreed to come on to the show today, so I want to thank you for that first and foremost. In this campaign, we know that, we see the headlines every day about the resume. Let's talk about your resume, Patricia.
Yes. Well, as you just mentioned, my background is healthcare, so I'm very much interested in improvements to the Canada Health Accord, getting the provinces to work more effectively together. The Green Party is proposing a national pharmacare program and also wants to bring together the premiers and the prime minister so that we get working towards the same goals. Right now, the current prime minister has not been one to draw together the provincial leaders in collaboration and consultation.
Well, so, and not only on healthcare, but on just a whole swath of issues.
Yes, yes. So seniors is another concern of mine. I'm a senior myself, mm-hmm. I don't mind saying. And I know that a lot of seniors are very concerned about their cash flow, their income, their housing conditions, what's affordable, how mm-hmm. long they can stay in their own homes. And a national pharmacare program will help them. The Green Party Guaranteed Livable Income program will help them, those who are living close to the poverty line. And more home care, more supports for living at home, services mm-hmm. are really essential. I think, unfortunately, the Ontario government got ahead of itself 20 years ago when they started restructuring hospitals and cutting acute care beds without first building up services in the community.
Absolutely. And there's no argument there from us or healthcare providers even in the community. We've had a number of healthcare providers in the studio say the same thing.
Absolutely. One of the things that I'm most interested in, though, is that you are a pharmacist. And one of the things that you've talked about already is pharmacare. Maybe as a pharmacist, you can sort of explain to our listeners why you think the pharmacare programs is important, and most importantly, how the Green Party would implement that pharmacare program and where it sits in your priorities.
Okay. As you may know, each province currently has its own program of drugs and which drugs are listed in the drug formulary, which are paid for, mm-hmm. and for whom those benefits apply. And those formularies, those drug lists, differ province to province. So it's very confusing moving from place to place. What's a benefit in one province may not be in another. So the idea of having a national pharmacare program is to bring all of that together, have one drug list that's paid for by every government, to increase the buying power of the government, to drive down the cost of prescription medication, and to ensure that people have access to necessary and therapeutically effective drugs, no matter which province they live in, to give us a little more mobility.
So the federal government essentially would become the vendor of choice for the provinces, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that just makes sense. I mean, we're talking about how many – we read a report recently that said that would save somewhere in the area of $27 million a year, wasn't it?
That's correct.
So it's quite a bit of savings. And again, now other parties are talking about similar programs. How does your program differ from what the others are talking about?
Well, yeah. Now you're getting into specifics that I admit I'm not qualified to really tell you the particulars one to the other. The other thing is that after Labor Day weekend, all Green Party candidates will be receiving specifics, costed rollouts for all of the programs being proposed. So right now, we're getting a lot of theory, but mm-hmm. we don't yet have all the facts that are supporting how these are going to look, how they'll be fleshed out. If I could just mention something, there's one hazard in going towards one drug formulary. If the government in its wisdom chooses the lowest cost offer, for instance, and if they do that repeatedly and it's the same drug company every time, mm-hmm. you may drive competition out of the marketplace. And we saw evidence of that happening a couple of years ago in Ontario when the provincial drug program, the hospitals had trouble obtaining drugs that were used for same-day surgery and operating room use. Very common, ordinary drugs, not expensive drugs, but mm-hmm. the sole supplier was unable, because of production issues, sterility issues, to provide as needed. And then you get into a real pickle if there's no other vendor to fall back on. So I'm hoping that through influence by people such as myself with mm-hmm. that background knowledge that we can build into the system some protection so that we maintain at least two alternate vendors and we share the marketplace a bit.
So what you're telling us right now is that you don't have the full costing of these programs right now.
No.
Which now, again, and I want to applaud you for that, frankly, for two things. One, being honest with us and the listeners out there. But two, also reminding folks out there that, you know, you can go out there and you can make promise after promise after promise. But if it doesn't happen, if it's not done through a proper costing, I mean, we know the opposition right now is getting their heads beaten in by the current government because they're saying, oh, these plans haven't been costed. This plan's going to leave a big hole in the budget. But right now, they haven't been able to poke any holes in the Green Party's plans because the Green Party is putting out a cost report, and that'll happen on Labor Day.
Yes.
So kudos for not flying off the handle with the willy-nilly promises. Now, you will be elected as the member for Northumberland Peterborough South. What is it that you would like to see? Do you have anything specific you want to see done here in Northumberland Peterborough South?
Well, I think, first of all, a lot of people in the new riding boundaries don't yet know just where they belong. I think people in the east end of Clarington really don't understand Northumberland County.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot of gathering together, reaching out, asking people, you know, what do you need? What can we do for you? A lot of back and forth communication has to happen very quickly. Some of it will happen during the campaign period. But as you say, a lot of the campaign period is candidates making promises, mm-hmm. which obviously, not all will be fulfilled, and many haven't been costed.
What are you hearing at the door as you're going up and knocking on the door in the various areas and talking to people?
Well, first of all, I'm going to confess that mine is a low-key campaign. I have a couple of active volunteers, but not a whole lot of people. I have a low budget. I'm trying to get the biggest impact for my time. So being here today and doing an interview in my home, which is my campaign office this morning, those are my two efforts today to get out and get the message out. So I'm not knocking on doors.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
I'm not knocking on doors.
Period. You won't be knocking on doors.
No.
Okay.
No, I just cannot do that. It's such a large geographic area.
Mm-hmm.
So getting out to the all candidates meetings, using all the social media opportunities, being as I am today, here being interviewed, being on the radio, using the newspapers, that's my effort at getting the message out.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it just that you don't have enough volunteers to help you out with the door
knocking? Well, I don't have a budget either.
Okay.
And quite honestly, the Green Party has been in this area, Northumberland area, for some 25, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
but we're not one of the big contenders for the seat of Member of Parliament. I'm realistic about that. And my motivation for running in this campaign is to be up there on the podium with other candidates, promoting the Green Party values and issues and challenging the other candidates to get their reaction so that voters can see what the differences are. So I'm quite honestly, it'll be a huge, amazing surprise to me if I do get elected.
Okay.
I guess the polls, you haven't, the Green Party hasn't ever cleared more than 4% in this riding.
4 or 5%.
Yeah.
If I can double that, I'll be so happy. And if I can build support for the next federal election, mm-hmm. and my dream is that we'll have a much younger Green candidate. So I'm trying to see myself as paving the way. I really am in a David and Goliath battle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking every opportunity to get out and speak, and I'll do the best I can. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, now, is there any concern of yours then that you'll be drawing votes away from some of the other parties that could topple the Harper government? I mean, I think the big goal for a lot of people out there is change, regime change.
Yes, definitely. People want change.
Does the Green Party impact the ability for that change to occur, though, if they're taking votes away from the other two parties?
Well, research has shown that the Green Party does draw voters who haven't voted before, mm-hmm. as well as voters from each of the other three national parties. So, no, I'm not a vote splitter. I'm not attempting to do that, nor do I believe that my running and my gaining votes over the candidate 4 years ago is going to have that effect. Not at all.
So what is the message that that voters can take away then? I mean, you're obviously trying to get people to support you, to vote for you, and you're hoping to do that at the all-candidate meetings and all the other public forums and on social media. What is the message that you're giving to people then? I mean, if you're running but you don't think that you have a chance, I mean, is that for real or that you don't think you have a chance? Or cause,
well, I'm running in a positive frame of mind. I'll go for it. Hey, if I'm chosen, I will do my very best to represent Northumberland, Peterborough South. But at the same time, we don't have the resources to pour into a campaign that would put me, you know, buy me advertising, draw teams of volunteers that will go out and canvass neighborhoods in every part of the riding. Just don't have those resources. So I'm running the best campaign I can to get the message out there to say, hey, the Green Party is about a lot more than climate change. We've got a really wide range of programs that we want to roll out. We're really interested in social justice issues and healthcare and seniors. Plus, we're interested in the environment and the economy. And the economy is a huge concern.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to take our first break of the hour. We will be right back with more of The Drive Time. The show is Consider This. This is Canada's only holistic political talk show. Joining me in the studio is Patricia Sinnott, your Green Party candidate for Northumberland, Peterborough South. And my co-host every Wednesday is Rob Washburn. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Glover. Joining me in the studio is Patricia Sinnott. Wow, we were really hot there for a couple of seconds. We do have a caller online, though, and we're going to go to that caller right now. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How you doing today?
I am just tickety-boo so far.
Tickety-boo so far. What's what's going to make it even better for you, Ed?
when I go home and find some air conditioning, maybe.
There you go. Hey, the Comfort Zone guys might help you. Or Pritchard's.
There you go.
One of our great
right.
sponsors.
Yeah.
You have a question or a comment for Patricia?
Well, one of each, probably. what I was going to say is I don't find that the door-to-door thing is all that important in an election, and the reason I say that is because I've lived in the same place for about 30 years, and I think maybe once one candidate came to the door.
Oh, really?
Oh, I get nothing. I live in the boonies.
Well, that's surprising to me, because I know, I mean, and I know Patricia doesn't have the team, but I know the other candidates have teams.
Oh, they have teams.
And it's because, I mean, with this long...
But it's like the kids on Halloween. Are you going to go up a rural road where there's three guys in 8 miles? Or are you going to come into town and go in the subdivision?
Well, Ed, I tell you, there's a lot of political strategists out there that would argue the opposite. And a lot of campaigns say that knocking doors is absolutely critical if you plan to win an election. Everything's local in politics. You know that, right?
Yeah. Oh, I understand that. But, I mean, like I say, where we are in Hamilton Township, I don't remember. I mean, they stuffed the mailbox with... with flyers and stuff like that.
Well, Ed, maybe but they know you live there, eh?
Maybe they know it's your house.
Yeah, really.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's pretend, shall we, that Patricia Sinnott has knocked on your door.
Right.
And she's here. She's your candidate. Do you have a question or comment directly for her?
A question she's kind of answered in the reality of the situation. And you did ask a question about drawing votes, but more of a comment that I would like to make is I really like the idea that she is bringing up things like seniors issues, pharmacare, some economic stuff, and not worrying about the Duffy trial. Okay? Geez. Get over it. It happened. The Liberals had theirs. The NDP's had theirs. Everybody's had theirs. At least the Greens are bringing up issues that people actually care about. You know, this is the important stuff. So if that party and those candidates that run in the Green Party can get people or even the other parties talking about other stuff, then they've done their job.
Well, there you go. That's a great comment, Ed. I want to thank you for that. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
That's it. I just wanted to say that, you know, I don't think that she should worry about knocking on doors and stuff like that. She gets her point across at the all candidates meeting and gets points across at the places they can go and gets other people and other parties talking about stuff that really is important.
Mm-hmm.
They've done their job.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Ed.
All right.
And just a reminder to the listeners out there, the lines are open at 905-372-2321. You can give us a call like Ed there. If you have a question, let's pretend Patricia Sinnott is knocking on your door, listener, and give us a call and let us know what you'd like to say or what question you might have for Patricia Sinnott. Now, you wanted to talk about the economy, but Rob, you had a question.
Yeah, I did. I agree. Let's talk about the economy. You go to any town in Northumberland, Peterborough South, and you walk up and down the main street, you see that there are empty stores. And you go into industrial parks and you see empty buildings. What will the Green Party do to help stimulate the local economies in those regards?
The Green Party is really focused on small business. And that is businesses that produce less than, I think it's $500,000 worth of business a year. So that's a fairly small enterprise. And the concept is to lower the business tax to 9%. I believe that is the same idea that another party is promoting as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good idea because the largest proportion of Canadians work in small business. And we're very good at that. And 50% of research and development dollars in Canada are spent through small businesses. So I think there's a real opportunity with the new clean technology to turn away from fossil fuels
mm-hmm.
and towards renewables and use the small business model to develop ways of spreading that across the country.
Could you give us an example of how that might work? You're talking about in generalities. I'd like to hear some specifics.
Okay. Well, I guess Guelph is probably the best example of a clean tech city in Canada. And again, I don't know a lot of details about Guelph, but I do know that there is a center for building, installing, and operating renewables like solar photovoltaic panels. I'm not sure if they're doing wind turbines. I know that on our coastal provinces, there's opportunity with tidal power renewable energy sources.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe some of it goes beyond small business into manufacturing facilities. But then again, for instance, the Green Party is opposed to the Energy East pipeline. And I have a document from the Peterborough Chamber of Commerce concerned about the potential for 200 jobs at GE being lost if that pipeline doesn't come this way. And my response was, well, we're going to have all of these other businesses in a green economy that will use the expertise of the people in that GE plant to build a lot of other pieces of equipment. Now, that's not a small business, that's a bigger operation. But in terms of recycling, of water, of agriculture, there are all kinds of opportunities.
One of the things that's in your platform is that you're looking to raise corporate taxes by 3% as part of the platform. Could you explain why you want to do that and how that will make a difference?
The idea is to bring corporate tax rates for big business back to, I think it's 2009 levels, because they have been reduced by the current government in increments to much below what they are in other countries. So we don't feel that big corporations are paying their fair share. And the government will need that revenue in order to roll out, the Green Party would need that revenue to roll out some of the programs that are being offered, like a guaranteed livable income.
What is that program? How does it work?
Everybody would receive a top-up of funding. It might be $10,000 a year to $15,000 a year. And then when you complete your tax return, if your income exceeds, it would be taxed back. Like nowadays, the old age security is taxed back from seniors who have other sources of income.
Right.
It's a clawback situation.
So it's an initial topping up, and then if some of that money has
yes.
to be clawed back. Now, but what we know with certain people is you may make X number of dollars one year, but then the following year you don't make that much money, and the clawback occurs in that year. Is that something that's being taken into consideration
well,
at the same time?
Again, that's getting into details and specifics
mm-hmm.
that I don't have all of that in front of me at the moment, so I'm making my best guess, I'll admit that.
Well, and again, once again, folks, we do appreciate your candor with regards to that. In terms of corporate taxation, yeah, we know that corporations have seen huge tax cuts. Well, we've seen individual taxes increase. They talk about the tax credits that people are getting. Are we going to be hearing the same thing about tax credits, though, from the Green Party? And are these going to be refundable tax credits? Are you aware of that?
Well, one that I do know something about is carbon pricing. The Green proposal is a carbon fee and dividend credit. So it's quite different from the cap and trade model that the Ontario provincial government is starting to roll out, or at least talking about rolling out. So the idea is that at source, either coming out of the ground or coming in on a tanker, the tax would be applied, that revenue collected, and then payment checks will go out on a monthly basis to all Canadians. Those who are at a lower income level get to keep more of it. Those who are earning more get to keep less of it. So again, it'll be taxed back. So it's a very direct, the idea is to have a very small administration and directly return the carbon tax money to the people who need it the most in order to spend money, we hope, on renewables. We need to share the money around so that people can buy, spend a little more perhaps for electricity from renewable sources rather than from nuclear sources, for instance.
So the real push then from the Green Party is sort of a lifestyle change then, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about
it really is.
We're talking about changing the way we do things. Now, I don't know if you listen to the show on a regular basis, but we have a regular contributor who is John Ford. He comes in once a month. We do the Power Hour. We talk about conservation and we talk about energy saving. And the one thing he talks about is the fact that the world we live in right now is not going to be the same in 10 or 15, maybe even 20 years down the road, where we won't have access to these huge resources. Is that something that, that the Green Party is focusing on? Is that why we're talking about a shift from resource economy to a more renewable economy?
Well, definitely we're concerned about climate change and the impact on the environment and the extremes of weather conditions that we're seeing now in British Columbia and throughout the states with the forest fires and floods and all of that. So we need to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by reducing oil dependence. And I see that as an opportunity. Oil prices are really low right now. We're in a recession. We know that Alberta's in trouble financially because of their $5.9 billion projected deficit. So we can take hold of the moment and go renewables with clean technology rather than continuing to subsidize an industry that, quite frankly, we can't afford and is not sustainable. Sustainability is huge for Greens.
Should we then be fostering an economy that's more local then?
Yes, definitely. Particularly with food, with energy, more small energy production units, not a ginormous hydro dam up in northern Ontario and then great hydro lines that transmit for hundreds of miles. We know that we lose energy through that, but smaller installations where the energy is needed. Yes, that's why rooftop solar makes so much sense, because you can do that in cities or you can do it on a farm.
Well, what about creating an economy of scale then? I mean, right now what we see, I mean, we know that it's almost impossible to get to buy any furniture that's manufactured in Canada now. And, you know, 100 years ago, everything we owned was made solid, made sturdy, made to last, you know. And that was because the economies were local, though. You were buying from the local a carpenter who was building your furniture. You were buying from a local upholsterer. Is that something that the Greens think we should be doing? Should we be moving more to a more a local-based economy in that sense?
Well, very definitely with food, right? Locally grown and produced food makes so much sense in so many different ways, rather than spending the money to truck produce from, well, at this time of year, oranges from South Africa. I don't eat oranges right now. I've got peaches, I've got apples, I've got all this local pears are coming in. Eat what's local, eat what's at the market, support local agribusiness. I think that's really important. If we can do that with other manufacturing too, that's wonderful. I don't know on furniture if people will pay a little more for quality. I have an electric stove that was built in 1958 in Toronto. I like it. I keep using it because it works. And I don't want one of the new ones with electronic gizmos that break down regularly and you have to call a serviceman in.
Does Ed fix your stove?
Oh, he's never fixed this one.
Okay.
He's never had to. So she's got a. So what she's got is a really good Inglis appliance, I think.
A gurney Inglis, I think.
I think it's the parent company.
It's great to talk about this, and I know that agriculture is a huge issue for our riding, but there are other people who are working that who have at one time had full-time jobs and are now either working part-time or precariously. We know that a lot of manufacturers, a lot of businesses are looking to just-in-time labor force, so people are getting 12 and 20 hours, no benefits, scheduling is a issue. There's all kinds of things going on in the workforce locally. What sort of things are you proposing that are going to remedy this?
I was just going to mention that I think in terms of post-secondary education and healthcare, the move towards contracted workers, part-time workers, rather than full-time positions. That's throughout our economy. It's not just in the manufacturing sector either.
No, and retail and yes. many, many levels. So yes. if that's the case, and I know that it's very big in our riding, yes. what are you proposing, or what is your party proposing to remedy this?
Well, the emphasis would be on small business opportunities. Idea Hub in Port Hope is one example of how you can support entrepreneurs. We've got another example in Colburn and the industry name I've forgotten, but where farmers can take their produce and process it, cook it, whatever, package it, and make it saleable. So there are ways like that of supporting what we've already got and making it into a business by economically helping that building facilities, sharing the capital outlay.
Now, are we talking about providing more than just a space, though? Because right now the Idea Hub is basically a space where people can go there and work out of there.
But well, it's also mentors, help, advice, access to financing. So it's a little more than just space, yeah. And there is a limit to the space. You kind of get this cradle. You can be here for, I think it's 3 years, and then you're out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not forever.
Well, on that note, we're going to take our second break of the show. You are listening to The Drive Time here on Northumberland 89.7. My guest in the studio is your Green Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. My co-host, as always, for Consider This Live is Rob Washburn. You're listening to Canada's only holistic political talk show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. I am your host, Dave Glover. Joining me in the studio, Patricia Sinnott, your Green Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South, and Rob Washburn. Rob, you had a question.
Yeah, I do. I'd like to talk a little bit about the First Nations. I know that's been really important in the last couple of weeks with the federal leaders. And I'd like to know what the Green Party is proposing for the Indigenous people.
Well, the Green Party leader, Elizabeth May, was the person who proposed tabling and accepting the report of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission from Justice Murray Sinclair in the closing days of Parliament. So we certainly acknowledge the role and respect that First Nations people need to be included. We don't want them to be cared for or taken care of. We want them to come to the table as equals so that we can all sit down and consult and collaborate and implement change as recommended in the Truth and Reconciliation Report. We know that there are 140 First Nations sites across Canada that have boil water warnings. We know that living housing conditions are poor. We know that less is spent on educating children on reserves than elsewhere in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in the last day or two, the national Aboriginal leaders have been very much advocating that the First Nations people get out and vote this time. It's really important that they participate. Why should anybody, say, in Alderville or of First Nations descent, vote for you in this election?
Because, I'm hoping that Aboriginal people will vote to much greater extent than they have previously. And because I can bring a voice as the Green Party representative to Ottawa if I'm elected, and because I support their sovereignty, their needs, and them gaining rights to living conditions that are much better than what they are now.
Okay, well, we do have a caller online. Go ahead, Deb.
Hi there.
Hi there.
And I really hate to take the conversation away from what you just started talking about. But I'd like to backtrack just a little bit about green energy and smaller business combining the two. Right at the moment, I know it's provincial, but we are being asked to be host communities to really incredibly large industrial wind turbines, which don't blow when there's no wind, like right now when it's really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was wondering is if the Green Party would be interested in helping get some sort of a program started where individual homeowners, could, make use of the green roofs or small wind turbines or solar or whatever at source instead of shipping it anywhere.
So is there a plan in place by the Green Party to make it more, I guess what you're saying is make it more accessible for residential homeowners to access the green energy as well, right, Deb?
Well, produce it. Truly local production.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you've got the room for it, Deb, it makes so much sense to...
Well, rooms are already there, right?
Well, yes, and there are designs of turbines that spin on a vertical axis rather than with the great big blades that protrude out so far, and the top of the big blade ones is the size of a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge scale. So
at least, yeah.
That technology is already being developed. We've missed an opportunity here in Canada in not seizing the moment 10 or 15 years ago in grabbing it and doing it here. So
rather than developing the oil sands, I think the big oil companies would have been smart to go in that direction instead of the one that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for interrupting.
Her point there was that the big oil, rather than... The big oil companies should have gone in that direction themselves.
Well,
or
the government, rather than continuing to subsidize big oil to the tune of $32 billion a year, could have been putting some of that into helping small businesses in various manufacturing sectors, like right here in our backyard.
Well, or even helping with creating a manufacturing sector for those. I mean,
yes.
Because I think the point that Deb's making, and maybe I'm wrong here, Deb, and you can correct me, but I think the point you're making is a lot of those technologies exist, but they're not here in Canada, and we have to bring all that stuff into this country, whether it's the large turbines, whether it's photovoltaic cells, what have you. There's not a lot of manufacturing of those products here in Canada, and so if I'm speaking out of turn, let me know, but you'd like to see more of that manufactured here, but more of it at a local level as well. Am I correct?
That's a good idea too, but what I was actually talking about was us producing our own electricity.
Right.
Like at the site, on my roof.
Right.
In my yard. Well, but you know what? Producing all those things here, right at the moment, we are, and again, we're going back to provincial, but we are harnessed to, I think it's 8 cents a kilowatt hour for these massive wind turbine things that are, they're threatening to come into the Kirby ski hill area.
Mm-hmm.
They're not turning. I mean, right now, you can go down to Essex County, and if the weather's like it is here, they're not moving.
No.
And even at the best of time, you're lucky if there's one-third of them that are actually functioning. So solar when the sun shines and wind when the wind's blowing.
You need a variety of sources of renewable energy. You're quite right. Yes, so biomass, geothermal, tidal, wave action, wind, solar. My solar panels on the roof don't do a thing all night.
No, exactly.
Right?
That's what the battery storage is for, right?
They sure didn't do much in February when they were covered in inches of ice and snow. I had a totally dead month in February.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the thing. I mean, you sort of have to. How do you keep them clean?
Well, I don't. I don't want to risk my life going up there and shoveling them off or anything. But
yeah.
That's why we need a variety of technologies and mm-hmm. energy sources.
Because
mm-hmm. then we mix it. And Deb, if I could just mention, are you in the Cobourg area?
I am in the same no-go area pretty much as Ed is, apparently. I didn't know he was in Hamilton Township.
Nobody comes
to this door either. We've had someone come once, and that was during the election when Mike Harris won.
Well,
20 years ago. Wow.
That was a long time. Yep.
Deb, I just want to mention one thing. Yesterday, I drove by a house on Stewart Street here in Cobourg
mm-hmm.
that A hole in the ground is all that exists at the moment. The owner is living in a yurt. He is building a house which will be passive solar. He is hoping to be off the grid.
Eventually. That's John Ford.
Yes.
John Ford
is... Do you know Mike... Jeepers, lost his last name. They live, speaking of Hamilton Township, they live here. He and his wife built off-grid probably 15, 20 years ago now, I guess.
Yep.
So he's producing his own energy as well then.
Yeah, Mike... Mike Hubicki, the architect.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So people are doing it.
He's been out there. I've been reading about this stuff since I was a kid back in the 70s. So, you know, it's not like we don't know. It's not like nobody's ever done it before. It's not like we couldn't go to Europe and study all the things that they're already doing. Well,
and
for decades.
And we've sent people over to Europe to do just that.
Yes.
So why aren't they bringing anything back?
Yes.
Or why is anybody using what they're bringing back? Why are they spending money for nothing? I mean, talk about wasted investment.
Well, it's time to get off oil. We just need to change our thinking.
Yep.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for your call, Deb.
No problem.
And and by the way, I don't know if you've listened to the Power Hour. John was on last night.
I was listening to part of it. Yeah.
He's the gentleman she was referring to, who's currently living in a yurt while he builds his environmentally and energy efficient home. So
yeah, well, John's all in favor of wind power, no matter what the size, from what I can gather, and that's.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if that's true either. But I think you may have provoked a phone call from him, so we don't know yet.
Hopefully.
Thanks, Deb.
I'm all about provocation.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks.
Bye bye.
Thanks.
All right. So again, the lines are open at 905-372-2321. We are going to take our last break of the evening, and when we come back, we're gonna finish up with Patricia, and talk about what she's going to be doing over the next few weeks in terms of her campaign and how she hopes to get her message out there. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. This is Canada's only holistic political talk show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Drive Time here on Northumberland 89.7. My guest in the studio is your Green Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South, Patricia Sinnott. And Rob Washburn is my co-host for Consider This Live in the third hour of Wednesday, September 2nd, here on Canada's only holistic political chat. Rob, you had another question or comment.
Yeah, I got a comment to start. Dave, I think you and I should be giving out political advice, because I think anybody that goes up and starts knocking on doors in Hamilton Township, they're going to win this election. I mean, when they haven't seen anybody in 20 years, I mean, that's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. So there you go. Free political advice to all the campaigns. Go out and knock on doors in Hamilton Township.
Your constituents miss you.
Yes, indeed. 20 years. Holy cow. Exactly. Anyway, today... on the news, there was quite a bit about refugees who are coming across from Syria and Iraq and landing on the beaches of Greece, and they're trying to get through Hungary to get into Europe, and quite a situation occurring over there, very heartbreaking. And we heard today the major three parties commenting on their policies, but we didn't hear what the Green Party has to say about immigration and this situation. I was wondering if you had any information at all that could help us to understand where your party stands on this.
Well, I'm going to be speaking from my own perspective on this, Robert, because indeed I do not have official Green Party information, but listening to these broadcasts over the last several weeks and watching the terrible tragedy unfolding certainly moves me to wonder why we can't do what we did 40 years ago by accepting, I think it was 40,000 boat people from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And why can't we do something on that scale again? Because Canada is a country which has a very low birth rate. So the only way we replace ourselves and grow our population is through immigration. We're a country of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think we need to step up and do more than we're doing. And I think that Prime Minister Harper said we've accepted 10,000 refugees from Iraq and 2,000 right. from Syria. But hey, there's hundreds of thousands of more people that desperately need homes. So that's a paltry sum, you know, what we've done so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's really embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that, you know, there should be ways to mobilize and bring these people in, because I believe they will be contributing citizens for the country.
That's interesting, because the Liberals said today that they would bring in 25,000, and the NDP didn't give a figure. So interesting to say 40,000. That's quite a large number. Good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, the NDP did make reference to the largest influx of displaced persons since the Second World War. So there was some acknowledgement there. For those interested, though, at the Green Party, the Green Party will reestablish Canada among the global leaders in peacekeeping, poverty alleviation, and international diplomacy. As Elizabeth May says, Canada has a proud history as a peacekeeping nation, but in recent decades has increasingly favored aggression and intervention over diplomacy, peacemaking, and disaster relief. Resource exploration, specifically in the global south, has led to the staggering global wealth gap, causing untold hardship and extreme poverty in nations throughout Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, Asia, and South and Central America. So that is one of the goals of the Green Party for those folks that are wondering. And I mean, I don't want to step on your toes, Pat, we've got the website up. We do have a caller online, though, and we're going to have to hurry this call through. So we're going to take that call right now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's me again.
Oh, hi, Deb.
It's in reference to something you said about the current government taking more responsibility for getting us off of oil. He who pays the piper calls the tune, and the tune is not being called by who's in power right now.
No, absolutely not.
Right? So until that changes, mm-hmm. we are stuck with what we've got.
Absolutely.
And the direction that we're going. And by the way, what you just said about, I honestly have been embarrassed to be Canadian in the past 2 years, and it's been getting worse. I wouldn't wear a flag on my backpack if I went somewhere else because of the embarrassing things that this government is doing.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for your call.
No problem.
So there you go. So another Canadian ashamed of the country's decision to go with a more corporate view when it comes to diplomacy. That's really what it's been, Rob.
Yeah.
More of a corporate view.
Indeed.
Any final thoughts, comments, Pat? Anything you want to get out there? Can people volunteer to help you? Can people volunteer to door knock for you if they want?
Oh, boy, there's a tough question. I've so far had about 10 people volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, one thing I need is whenever I go to an all candidates meeting, I need a person to go with me as sort of my psychosocial support person,
mm-hmm.
and also to man the table with the brochures and hand out the buttons and do those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a roster of people. I've signed up for 9 all candidates meetings
right.
so far, plus 2 other smaller gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm open for more, whatever will fit in my timetable. So that's one thing.
Is there a way for people to contact you?
Yes. Yes. My email address is Sinnott, Sinnott, Ganaraska,
okay.
@gmail.com. And my telephone number is 905-885-0805. And I just want to say that both of my parents were born and raised in Port Hope. Their ancestors were largely Irish people who fled Ireland because of the poverty there,
mm-hmm.
and the potato famine there and the lack of opportunities there. And hey, if they hadn't come here, I wouldn't be here. So, I mean, that's what Canada's all about.
What about donations? Can people make donations to your campaign?
Yes. Yes, they can. And the checks should be made payable to Richard Tyson, T-Y-S-S-E-N, official agent.
So that's Richard Tyson, T-Y-S-S-E-N. He is the official agent for Patricia Sinnott. Always looking for some support, obviously, right? Any kind of donation will help.
You're paying for this campaign yourself, are you?
Well, I'm paying a chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a local association for mm-hmm. Green Party Canada, but mm-hmm. we're this many people.
Just a handful of folks.
So this isn't Donald Trump.
Basically, we've gone round the table and everybody else has taken a turn at being the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is my turn.
All right.
So again, folks, if you want to, you can make a donation to Patricia Sinnott's campaign. You can go to her website, Sinnott Ganaraska, Sinnott Ganaraska @gmail.com. And if you do want to make a donation, you can do so. You make your donation. Has to be a check, I understand.
Yes.
And it has to be payable to Richard Tyson. He is the official agent for Patricia Sinnott's campaign.
And I am on Facebook. Patricia.Sinnott
Patricia.73.
So there you go. So there's lots of ways that you can contact Patricia. If you want to help Patricia in her campaign, let's face it, folks, they can all use the help. Patricia more than the others, I'm sure. But again, even if it's just somebody to attend the all candidates meetings with you so that you can help get literature out to folks. And again, be aware. Now, we are going to have you back in September because we do want you to come back when you've got the costing available from the Green Party, which will not be available until after Labor Day. So that's next weekend. Right. So we may have Patricia back here in the next couple of weeks, folks, just so we can get some clarity on some of the issues and so that she can speak to a broader platform for the Green Party of Canada. Rob, any final comments?
No, I'm with you, Dave.
Well, on that note, we're going to thank Patricia for being here. Always a pleasure, as I say, Pat. And the door is open. This is the open door policy we have here. So if you are a candidate in Northumberland, Peterborough South, and you do have something you'd like to say, my door is always open. Come on by. That we do offer fair and equitable being the operative word there, to access to all the candidates here at Northumberland 89.7, be it on my show. And just a reminder that Adam Moulton will be on with Jan Sprague on Friday at noon in the noon hour for Week in Review.
And Kim Rudd's going to be here next week.
Kim Rudd will be our guest in the studio next week as well. And by the way, folks, I do have a call in to the leader of the Liberal Party as well, to Justin Trudeau. I've sent a direct message email to Elizabeth May, too, if she wants to do a phone interview with me. Love to have her on the phone as well. Have not gotten a response from the Conservatives on this issue, but I'm sure that Jan Sprague would probably have a better opportunity at that than I will. Anyway, you've been listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. This is Canada's only holistic political talk show. I'm Dave Glover. I will be back tomorrow. No guests lined up as yet, but I will keep you abreast of the situation, folks. Looking forward to bringing you all the information you need to know from a political perspective, municipal, federal, provincial. It's all the same, folks. As they say, there's only one taxpayer. That's you and me. Here is Ellen Torrey with our song for the night, I Am, right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.